Hello, and welcome back to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK. My name is Yasmin, and I will be the DM.
Hi, my name's Spencer. I play Caddo Chasseur, a cleric from Gavany, who has a pet dog called Pickle.
Hi, my name is Samantha. I play Laura Greyvale, and she is a sorceress from the province of Nephalia.
Hello, I'm Colin, and I play Quinn de Greymont, a paladin from Flarbon in the province of Gavany.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I play Ogvar Shawfort, a goat-herding, mushroom-seeking ranger from Kessig.
Housekeeping! Hi everyone. It will not have escaped your notice that we have made some changes to the intro and outro sections of our podcast. There may be some other subtle changes to come too, but the major one is that you may hear the occasional mid-roll promo for other creators. We like to support others in the TTRPG community the same way that they support us, and maybe you will enjoy what they have on offer while you are waiting for our next episode. Anyway, that's the housekeeping bit done, and now it's time for this week's instalment. The morning after the night before was a quintessentially quiet affair, with a huge spread to soak up the hangovers, and Esther sleeping in to shake off her somewhat sinful skinful. Elora had awoken with the sole purpose of making a visit to the Selhoff Postal Service. After her prolonged period of absence, it was time to put pen to parchment as she eased her conscience and composed some communiques. Quinn and Caddo sought the services of Sato, whom they located strangely sat atop a shelf. Upon asking him to appraise some of their appropriated accoutrements, they gleaned that the gauntlets they had gathered were a shockingly good find, and after bartering some belongings for coin, an emerald was eventually exchanged for the somewhat exotic extending ladder. Ogvar got himself organised, and with Orland for company and Alora's little project in mind, he enthusiastically embarked on a jolly jaunt to muster up a makeover for their capricious companion. As we left, our devious DM had asked the ranger to roll. So what the holy heck is happening now? Episode 92, A Swift Shafting.
Ogvar, does a 17 hit you?
My AC is 17.
So yes.
So it hits.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. As you step outside the front door of the church, you walk forward a couple of paces, and it's a very, very quiet day. Far quieter than the previous days. And as you stand there for a minute, you hear the faint whistling sound as an arrow cuts through the grey sky and lands in your shoulder. Front of your shoulder joint.
Okay.
Left hand side.
Okay.
Attached to the arrow is the The shaft buries deep. And amidst the blinding pain, the searing pain you're experiencing, you notice that along the shaft of the arrow, there is a piece of parchment tied.
It's an advert for the circus.
Okay, so Ogvar will... I imagine he'll probably just walk backwards, straight back through the door, holding onto the shaft of an arrow, and going, little help, please.
Right there, Ogvar?
It's not good.
Ogvar, you all right?
I don't know.
Somebody shot you.
I believe so.
Did you see who it was?
Is there a medic?
Did you see who it was?
What did you do to get that?
You will take 7 points of damage from that.
Okay, I didn't see where it came from. It came down at me, so it must have arched in or something. Can someone get it out?
Probably best if we find Ruth. I could do it, but, you know, I don't want to hurt
I said somebody, I didn't mean you.
Okay.
It's got a little note on it, look.
Oh, yes.
It doesn't need to be attached to me to be read.
I tell you what, Kewin, you get the little note, I'll deal with the arrow.
Okay.
So, Do you want to borrow my sword?
So Alvar just sighs and sits on a pew. he lies down across a pew.
I shall use my healing skills to remove the arrow without necessarily actually healing him at this stage, but just to safely remove said arrow to make sure that it's not barbed, poisoned or anything else.
Okay.
Yeah, you are able to very carefully remove the arrow. It's gone incredibly deep. And from experience, you would know that at this point you'd probably break the shaft of the arrow to make it easier to work with, because obviously the more you try and wiggle it, the longer it is, the more leverage, the more damage it's going to do inside. So yeah, brace it, snap the shaft of the arrow off, and just very gently, perhaps using a tip of a sterile knife, you just gently ease it out and you're able to pull it out.
Be careful of the note.
It's coated with blood, so are the pews.
Don't get any blood on the note.
I'm being careful. You'll be glad to know, Ogvar, that it's not barbed. It hasn't done any long-term damage. It's not a poisoned tipped arrow or anything like that. And I'll bandage you, and come the morning, you'll feel a little bit better.
Oh, good, because I don't feel very good at the moment.
Yeah, I strongly recommend not stepping outside for a moment, though.
Hold on. So, Kewin will walk over to Ogvar, and he'll just put his hand on the wound and give him four healing points.
Four. Excellent, thank you very much. Oh, that feels a bit better.
Okay, yeah, you place your hand on his wound and you get the kind of wet squelch as your hand's now coated with blood. And yeah, your wound closes up, Ogvar. It's still very sore, it's still very raised, it's just a surface healing, it's just stitched the skin back together, basically.
Okay.
So you take it easy for a moment, Ogvar, while that bandage settles, and Kewin and I will read the note.
Do you think it might be worth getting a few Cathars on the door, just in case anybody else wants to go outside?
And you feel it was deliberately aimed at you, do you, as opposed to somebody just firing something right in the rough direction of the church and it happened to hit you?
It's got a note on it, so it was obviously intent for somebody.
You two stay here and I'll go have a look.
I wouldn't say go outside, I'd just say stop people from going outside.
Yeah, no, I mean go and try and find some Cathars.
Oh, good idea.
And Ruth, I'm going to run down the halls of the church saying, Ogre's been shot! Under attack!
Well, I'm not sure we are under attack. They may have just been trying to fire it at the door and he got in the way.
Makes no difference. Ogre's been hit.
It is purely a message delivery system. I mean, if he'd been hit by a falling pigeon, we wouldn't be claiming we're under attack.
What's he going to do? Change his name to Busby?
If he'd been hit by a falling pigeon, I'd have been going, I'm going to go hit by a pigeon.
Is it a notification of failed delivery from Alora's letter?
Yeah, it's a reply.
To receive your parcel.
It's a reply, yeah. Sorry, no one was at home.
Okay. Kewin. DPD need to improve their delivery jobs.
Did somebody take a photo of it?
Okay. Sorry, you weren't in. We missed you. You missed our call. Kewin. As you jog through the church, trumpeting about Ogvar being hit, you see a varied amount of Cathars come piling out of different doorways, different areas of the church. They're looking kind of groggy, but you see some of them, perhaps the more alert ones, have got hands and weapons. Ruth comes skidding out the corner from the kitchen, going, bloody hell, what is it now? And you hear, from the back door, you hear Colbean. The door clatters open, he says, "Oh, fuck, geezer!" And as he tumbles back through the door, he too has an arrow buried in his thigh.
Now it's an attack. Can't call that a messaging system.
Somebody's firing arrows. Ogva's been here that way, and it looks like Colbean this way. Right, I think we need to start hitting things.
Has Colbean's also got a letter attached?
You wouldn't know. You're not there. You're currently with Ogva at the front of the church.
Well, Kieran will run over and grab Colbean and yank him in.
Cheers, geezer! I appear to have something sticking out of me.
I'll just get you in here. It seems to be got you in the leg. I'm just gonna.
No,
have
really,
a look at
I
the
thought
other.
They got me in the torso.
No, it's definitely your leg. That's your leg.
Is it?
That's your torso. No, because you said he got hit in the leg, didn't you?
He's taking a piss.
Yeah, it's sarcasm, Colin.
He did.
Definitely taking a piss.
Neither as Kewin or as Colin recognises sarcasm. My brain won't compute. So sarcasm just
in which case,
you've been left with a door.
You've been left with a sarky rogue, bless you.
Kewin will then reach down and then have a look at the arrow to see if there's another note on it.
Yeah, there's no note on this arrow. It's a simple, plain shafted arrow with the same black fletching as the one which was shot into Ogvar's shoulder.
Gotta love the city guard.
Yeah, so Ogvar's sort of sat up now on the pew, and I assume Caddo's still with him.
Yeah, I stayed with you. For want of a better term, I'm nursing you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What does the note say then? It's obviously intent for us.
I've no idea. Kewin ran off with it.
Oh.
Yeah, you had it.
You took it. No, I didn't.
No, you broke the shaft of the arrow.
You broke the shaft. Mm. All I said is I don't get any blood on it.
Oh, I thought I'd given it to you.
No.
We'll have a look at the note, yeah. Assuming it's not this week's crossword.
Yeah. You untie the string that keeps this note bound, and it is rolled tightly around the shaft of the arrow. You unroll it, and it's got this natural bend, obviously, where it's been coiled tight, and you unfold it. It's folded a couple of times, folded twice over. And the note simply reads, in an elegant and flowing script, "You should have simply rolled over and faded into nothingness. You've chosen warfare, and it is warfare you shall have. Prepare yourself, priest." And on the bottom of the letter, marked very clearly, is the symbol of Skurstag.
Ooh. I assume Caddo has read that out to Ogvar, being as Ogvar is not the strongest of readers.
And shown you it, in fact.
Oh, nice.
So you can see the symbol.
Oh, yes, sir. I know that straight away. Ooh. Well, it's, I think everybody needs to be up and about. Nowish.
Yeah, I think we might have been rumbled.
I do think so, too. And at that, Ogvar will, I suppose, go and get Alora.
Well, Kewin's gone to get everyone. I'd imagine everybody will appear very shortly.
Kewin does get excitable and start bellowing.
You were shouting. Yes. Shouting, we're under attack.
I'll stay here then, no trouble.
I recommend we guard this door just in case somebody comes through. Is there any way of barring the front door?
Yeah, the back of this door has this very traditional two wooden brackets where you can drop a big heavy oaken bar in. It's also got a variety of locks and bolts.
Here
which you,
go.
You can use to seal the door shut.
Here you go, Ogvar. Give me a hand with this bar, then. We'll bar this door so that we don't get surprised while we're sorting out what we're going to do.
Okay, yes, no problem. And maybe get someone on the back door as well, where Colbean was.
Well, yeah, Kewin went that way. I assume Kewin will be sensible enough to bar the door if he's seen somebody come through it.
Okay.
Yeah, Kewin will pull Colbean in. He'll go, just sit there, young man. And he'll turn to Ruth. He says, is there a bar to go across this or just locks?
I've got it. You get Colbean. Get him in here. And okay. Ruth hustles past you. She slams the door with a great amount of vitriol and promptly begins turning bolts, turning locks. She shoves a side table, quite hefty looking side table, shoves it behind the door as well, just for good measure. And pretty much everyone in the church is awake at this point. Elora, you would have been woken up by Kewin's shouting.
Right, she's going to come racing downstairs and go, what the hell's going on? What's all the noise? What's happening?
Ogvar's been shot.
Is what?
I'm not sure I could say that any more plainly. Ogvar's been shot.
Shot.
With an arrow.
Shot. Ogvar. She's going to race over to Ogvar, grab his arm. Are you all right? Are you okay?
Oh, yes, I'm okay now. But
who's...
I've had a bit of healing from Cadu and Kewin. And
who the hell is playing archery in here? What's going on?
They're outside and it's Skurstak.
Do what?
I think we were found out.
How do you know it's Skurstak?
They left a calling.
Show her the letter.
They left a calling card.
Show me. Laura's going to take the note off him and she's going to look at the note, read it briefly, and she's going to look at the...
Yeah.
Is the actual symbol, the diamond with the eye and the trident on it, on the bottom?
Yes. Make me a wisdom check as well.
Wisdom. Wisdom. Oh my god. That's a 7 minus 1, that's a... No, it's not. It's... Yeah, it's a 7 minus 1, it's a 6. Not great.
Yeah. The handwriting on this note is very familiar, but you just can't place it.
Something about this is familiar, and I'm not talking about the actual stamp on it. The symbol. Something else, but just at this moment it eludes me. I just don't know what it is.
Well, if I was a betting man, my money's on Axum. And on the basis that we saw quite a lot of handwritten notes from him yesterday, in fact, 12 hours ago, when you emptied his desk, would that be where you recognise it from?
Would it be?
Yes.
Now you've said that, yes. And we know what his connection is with Skurstak, so that makes complete sense. So they've come looking for us. So, Ogvar, you're okay?
Oh, yes, quite fine.
So what else is happening? So he goes out the door and he gets shot, is that what happened? Or did they come in, or what?
No. Kewin's gone to get the rest of the Cathars, so Ruth can find us and we can formulate some sort of plan of what we're going to do. I'm just waiting for Kewin to come back, in fact.
And everybody else is okay?
Kewin's going to come back, except... I've shouted everybody and... I shot Colbean as well.
What?
Yes.
Is he okay?
I've pulled him in and Ruth locked the door, but he didn't get a message like you. He was obviously not important.
Well, I wish he was.
This is no good. This won't do at all.
I think we're probably best to batten down the hatches to figure things out. I think we might need to do the cellar as well.
Oh, yes, very good call.
I've barred the door here. Have you barred the door at the back?
Yeah, we Ruth barred that.
Oh, excellent. I wonder if there are any other entrances we should make sure are covered.
Have they fixed the cellar? Have they fixed the hole in the cellar? It's been a few days. Have they had that done? I didn't ask.
Well, I made the assumption that they had after we told them that the problem was there, but we should probably check.
But they did say they weren't going to store anything in there again.
Has this place... I would have... Obviously, we would have noticed. I'm assuming, as it's a cathedral, will it have some kind of tower with a... kind of like a... an open roof area, like a... like a church bell tower or something, like a cathedral bell tower or something?
Yeah, it has a bell tower, yeah.
Well, that's a high vantage point. There should be a window or something up there, or an opening up there.
Yes, I mean, but my sight's not the best, but I'm going to go down and check the cellar, make sure that it's jammed.
Well, I think that's a good vantage point. I mean, let's face it, we haven't got just the moral high ground, we've probably got one of the highest points in the city.
Possibly, but...
I think probably before we start planning, we should... it's not actually our building, and it's not actually our fight. We probably need to take advice from the Bish and from Ruth.
Well, first things first, we need to secure as many entrances as we can. We've done the front door. We've done the back door. I want to check the cellar.
Wise, I think.
Well, yes, I understand that. That makes sense, yes.
So, and then if you lot want to sort about the tower with Ruth and Esther and everybody else...
Well, I think if anybody's going to approach the church, that's a good vantage point to see who's approaching what,
yes,
potentially.
Best to figure out who you can send.
I'll do it.
Yes, your eyesight. Your eyesight and your bow. Cool. Be able to see for miles.
I want
and
to see the bloater who shot me.
Well, some of my spells have got a decent range.
Well, you go with it. They're barrage attack. If they come in here, I'll smack them.
Just for once, Cooin, I'd have to agree with you.
Yes, am I right in thinking that we haven't necessarily got a city map, but from the way we've been discussing it, the cathedral's kind of in the middle of the city, and it's closer to the water than the rich district. So we're kind of surrounded by buildings.
Yes, you will be. So where the cathedral is, you have... So, speaking very roughly, your city's kind of like a bit of a teardrop shape, with the bottom of the teardrop being the dock area, where it opens out. So it's in this big crevasse valley. So it's this kind of teardrop shape. So the richer houses are at the top. And they're more spaced out as you get further up. Everything further down is cramped. So you've got your kind of slummy areas lower down, lots of small, narrow, winding streets. The middle area, the guild is kind of cuts right through the middle of the city. So the west gate, the north gate, sorry, where you entered, is halfway up the city wall, basically. The guild is at the halfway point, kind of in the middle of the city. The cathedral is then further up, more towards the richer district, but still surrounded by buildings.
Okay, so the rich people's houses are further up the hill of the valley than we are?
Yes, most definitely, yes.
Right, that makes sense. Okay.
I'm going to turn to Cadder. Have you got any more charges in that ring of yours?
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, it works every day.
Oh, right. Okay.
No, that's right. I still think probably we need to have a bit of a council of war with the Bish and with Ruth about how they want to deal with this. Because if it's the whole of the city guard out there and it's just us lot in here, we're in kind of a bit of a hostage situation. There's a lot more of them than there is of us.
Well, you gather everybody up into the war room, and I'll go and check the cellar.
Yep, and that way we can check with Ruth if there's any other entrances, can't we?
Okay, yeah, that's fine. We'll do that. Ogvar, come on, we'll get everybody together.
Yeah, because you never know, there might be another sharpshooter.
Is Esther up and about at this point, or is she still dead to the world? Have I got to go and drag her out of bed?
No, Esther would have tumbled downstairs. She's dressed in her nightie. Her shawl is dragging along the floor. Her hair is up in what appears to be some form of vague curlers. They're quite lopsided. She's clearly put them in while she's very drunk. She comes tottering downstairs going, what is going on? Oh, I have a thumping headache. Oh.
Right, Alora's going to run to the kitchen, grab the first glass, slosh some milk from one of the fridges, or whatever, the pantry.
Fridge!
pantry. Pantry.
Next to the microwave.
Yeah, that's the
one. The espresso machine.
God.
She's going to grab...
The Keurig.
Yeah. Her George Foreman grill. She's...
She's gonna shake the nearest Starbucks barista.
She's gonna run into the kitchen, milk the cow.
Don't fall over the vacuum cleaner. Whatever you do.
Oh, Henry's in here as well. She's gonna grab some milk from a pitcher on the side or in the pantry or whatever, slosh some milk in a cup really quickly. She's gonna run back, hand it to Esther and say, "Here, quick, drink this. Sober yourself up. Go and get dressed immediately and meet us upstairs in the war room." And then she's going to dash off to find Ogvar, to find everyone else to go upstairs.
Don't forget to put the glass in the dishwasher.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
Are you looking for a D&D podcast with a dark side? Something more like Game of Thrones and less like Monty Python? Tale of the Manticore is part dark fantasy audio drama, part solo D&D RPG. There's no plot armor here. The dice make all the important decisions. Join me as I resurrect the excitement, wonder, and emotion of old-school D&D. Made for a mature audience, Tale of the Manticore is both a fiction and a game. It's the story where chaos rolls.
Kewin, you are heading downstairs to the vault. When you reach the vault door, you test the handle and to find it is still locked.
That's good. I shouldn't have to worry about this way. Oh, great, I'll go and join the others. And he goes back up.
Yeah. So... you will make your way up. You will congregate in the war room. And there you find Colbean. He's still limping slightly from the shot in his leg. It has been healed up and tended to. You can see Ruth currently tending to his leg, kind of faint silvery light suffusing her hands as she works on healing the wound. But you see Gerhardt sat at the head of the table, elbow propped up, head, his palm cupping his cheek, line of drool dripping out the side of his mouth as he goes. The other Cathars are all bundled in and you can see they're in varying states of disarray. Some of them are still in their pyjamas, they've just grabbed the nearest weaponry. Some of them are partially dressed. You can see some of them pulling on boots and greaves and actually arming themselves up as they're waiting. Others you can see are fully dressed and ready to go. Weapons are ready, primed, shields have been collected. And the room's in just kind of like a bit of a buzz at the moment with everyone prepping. So you all make your way up into the room. What are you doing?
That's a good question.
So are we all in the room now? We've all got to the room.
You are all in the room. Yep, Esther's in there. She's sipping away on her glass of milk while she's furiously... polishing and sharpening her blade.
Who's got the note?
You have.
I still got it. Okay. Laura's going to wave the note in the air and say, "Right, okay, this note, I'm just going to start passing it round the room. This is what was stuck to the arrow that landed in Ogvar. You best pass this round and read this. This is the doing of Skurzdag. What are we going to do about it?"
So you pass the note around the room and eventually the note makes its way to Ruth as she finishes off cleaning up Colbean's leg. And she takes the note with bloody hands, putting more bloody fingerprints onto this piece of paper. And as you look at it, she is trembling with rage. She is furious. This note in her hands is pulled taut with a white-knuckled grip. She looks at you and goes, "Well, I do say that this means war."
"Well, apparently that has already been declared."
I think we need to go have a look, see what we're actually dealing with here. From the top of the tower, we might be able to see how much and or who they are.
It's an advantage point.
It may be Skurstag, it may be the city guard, or both.
Oh, yeah, I think they're one and the same.
Well, maybe not intentionally.
Well, I wonder whether... the Skursdag are working with him, Axum, or whether Axum's working with them.
I think we should go and have a look.
Either way, I think we should wipe them all out, frankly. We've had a run-in with Skursdag before. Have you come across them, Caddo, on your trip? You probably haven't, have you?
Yeah, that bloke who threw the rotten horrible snake at me, he was them, wasn't he?
Oh yes,
he was
the lighthouse,
wasn't he? That bloke with all the chanting and the snake.
Yeah. He seemed to be some kind of, He looked like he was in charge, but I don't know.
Well, I killed his pet, so.
Good on you.
Okay, I'll go have a look at from the top of the tower. Anyone coming with?
Yeah, I'll come up, Ogvar.
Okay.
So I'll disappear with Ogvar and we'll leave the room and leave the others to talk.
Okay, so the church, or the cathedral rather, actually has two towers. It has a tower at the front and a tower at the back. So if you imagine the church as, or the cathedral, sorry, as from the side view, a big rectangular box. At one end it has a tall rectangular spire coming to a point, and at the other end it has the same. Off the back end there is a probably 10-foot high wall which extends around in like a kind of an elongated kind of semicircular shape, which is the walled garden at the back of the church. In a kind of geographical point of view, the church itself is situated with the back garden almost hugging a ledge. And this ledge is like a jutting of rock which the cathedral is built on top of. From the front of the cathedral there's obviously a bit of a gathering place, and then there's a path which leads down the side as it goes downhill down one side of this this jutting piece of rock. The other side carries on in a flat path on the flat and even. There are houses, buildings lining each side of this churchway. So which are you going to, the front spire or the back spire?
Which one's got the best vantage point over the city?
Front, I'm going to guess.
The one at the back.
Back, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, because the front one.
You had a 50-50 chance spent.
Yeah, I mean, just the way.
So Quasimodo's in the other one.
Just the way I've drawn that picture with the open bit at the front, and you got shot going through the front door. My natural instinct was is that something's happening at the front, but clearly I'm wrong.
Oh yeah. Well, we got shot in both ends, didn't we?
That sounds like ouch. He's a
back
door kind of guy, the back apparently.
The back door, Colby got shot. The front door, Ryan got shot.
Yeah.
So they've got people scouting both.
It would appear we're surrounded.
What is the back
bell tower? Is the one which is overlooks the walled garden, and that walled garden overlooks the rest of the city going downhill.
Ah,
forget about that one.
The church is at.
Ogvar and Alora are going to the bell tower that overlooks the city.
Okay, so you climb up the staircase, and it's a spiral staircase, traditional kind of church spiral staircase. The stone is very, very worn, and the steps are. Again, stone, but you can feel where you walk. There are these very large dips, clearly worn down with time, in the middle of the step. There is no railing in this spiral staircase, and it's this tight spiraling. But what you do have is a braided rope, which is strung through eyelet hooks, big iron eyelet hooks on the outer wall, basically, so the long side.
Okay.
And you make your way up to the top of the tower. There's a couple of little rooms which jut off. They look to be, most of the doors are kind of open into these rooms. They look to be some form of storage rooms. You see things like crates of just crates filled with what looks like fresh veg on the lower floors. As you go further up, there are things which look like old furniture, packaged up furniture, supplies for the church, barrels of communion wine, boxes of little thin wafer-y biscuit things. Just kind of general church supplies, spare candlesticks.
Is there by any chance a bucket?
You can very easily find a bucket, yes.
Okay, I would like to pick up a bucket.
You can pick up a bucket. You don't know what was in the bucket, but you can pick up the bucket.
Okay. Is the bucket empty?
The bucket is currently empty, yes.
Currently, okay. Rightio. What Ogvar would like to do before he goes up onto the top of the top tower, before he goes out, he'd like to put the bucket on his end of his bow and stick that up first and see if anything shot at it. It's a good job I found a bucket, or else I was going to use my percolator.
You don't want that damaged.
Well, it was a risk.
Bullet holes in it. You have to drink your coffee quick.
Yeah.
Okay. You pop the bucket out the top. It's a hatch up, so you've come to kind of a flat balcony, and then there's like a very old rickety looking step ladder, mm-hmm. which leads to a hatch in the roof with an iron pole attached to it. So you prop the iron pole up. You put the bucket on the end of your bow. Shove it out of the hatch. Nothing happens.
Okay, so are we on a ladder, did you say? Look, before we go up?
Yeah, so you're basically, you're partway up a ladder doing this, yeah.
Okay, so Ogvar was like, well, they haven't shot anything at the bucket yet, so it may possibly, sort of, maybe almost be safe, if you want to go up slowly. So Ogvar will sort of crawl out and sort of stay low to the ground. Is there like a parapet. That's the one, yeah, a parapet.
Yeah. Okay. So you climb out onto this stone floor. And it is designed in a way that you have kind of it's probably about a 4 foot high wall surrounding the edge of this. It's not a massive tower. It's probably 10 foot square, 10 foot in each direction. You have a 5 foot wall surrounding the outside, and each corner there is a post made of stone, which supports the weight of the roof above it. The roof above you, it's got wooden beams, in very old looking wooden beams. It's tiled. You can see the edges of the tiles hanging over. And hanging above your head is a small but squat bell. Very, very round. It's very, very short. And hanging from it is a very heavy-duty chain and rope, which when pulled, you can imagine, it would take a bit of effort to pull to get it to actually swing far enough to make contact with the dangler. But it's a very short, fat bell.
Okay. Ogvar will get towards the edge and take the bucket off the end of his bow and pop it on his head. And then look over the edge very carefully.
Okay, make me a wisdom check.
It's going to be the latrine bucket, isn't it?
Can I just ask, is this a flat wall or is it castellated?
It is a castellated wall, sorry, yeah.
Okay.
And it's made of this very... very white stone, but as you've kind of got to top level, where it was smooth on the lower walls, it's very rough here, rough hewn stone. You can tell, but because it's not an area that's going to be frequented often by people, like general public, they've used a lower quality stone. But the castellations do have this very nice angled, chiselled capstone almost on it, on the top of it, kind of angled at a 45 degree angle, so it comes to a nice point in the middle. Yes, what was the wisdom check?
Wisdom, okay. It's possibly the lowest number you can get on a
d20.
Oh, dear. Classic.
Good start. We could only improve.
Okay. As you put the bucket on your head, it's a very tight fit. As you put it on, it almost squeezes and fits around your head, almost like a helmet.
Ace.
A magic bucket.
And you can have a +1 to your AC.
Whoa!
Oh, nice.
Beautiful. Thank you very much, DM.
I'll take it. It was a metal bucket, was it?
No, it was a wooden bucket.
Oh, it was a wooden bucket.
Ewan, you can't have it.
At least his visor won't fall down.
No, it's handle.
You've got a handle under the chin at the moment.
I was going to say the handle under the chin. Yeah.
Right, okay, so, yeah, with new bucket helm, I will have a look over the edge.
Allura will probably join him.
Okay, as you look over the edge, you can both make me spot checks.
Spot?
Or, yeah, spot checks, yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Ugh, that's a 13 all in.
13 all in?
Okay. Other end of the scale, nat 20.
Oh my god.
Boom.
Boom.
Okay. Allura, with your 13, actually both of you, as you look around, you take a good look around. I'm assuming you're probably going to look around all sides of the church. You just try and get as much view as possible. You can see into the back garden. You can see some traces. You can just about make up some traces of blood near the doorway where Colbeam was obviously shot and bled all over the place. It's quite like black, shiny patches on the plants and grass where it's clearly just bled everywhere. But you can see down to the right-hand side of the church, as you're looking towards the back garden out over the city, you can see this path leading up. And as you make your way around, you can also see a hell of a lot of movement occurring. You can't see around at the front of the church because you are at the back. But you can tell that there's, you know, you can see a couple of people, just standard civilians, running away in what looks like terror. They're not running to get their mushrooms from the market. They are running with severe speed. And actually looking further down the city, you can see quite a lot of movement further in the city as well. Quite a lot of guard movement. But certainly a lot more activity than you've seen in the past couple of days. Ogvar, as you look around, you can just about make out, as you watch, the back wall. Something metal flies up into the air before landing and hooking over the top of the wall.
Is that on the parapet tower that we're on?
The back garden?
No, so the back garden wall.
Okay, back garden wall, yeah, okay. Okay. Ooh, look, Allura, down there. There's a metal thing come up. I think it may be some sort of hook.
Like a grappling hook?
It could well be.
It's a bit of a distance away. I mean, it's obviously it's quite high up here, but yeah, it looks like you're right. So I'm assuming, right, can she see any outlines of people down there? Can Allura see with her eye any auras around people down there? Although I think she knows what she's going to see, but she just wants
you
to
can
check.
You can see the faint silvery aura of the fleeing civilians who are running down the side path, but those are the only people you can see.
Okay. Well, Ogvar, there's a lot of people running away there.
It's not a good sign.
No, but I do think that we probably need to get back down now that we can see that somebody's trying to get over the wall and let them know.
Okay.
And then at least we know where we're looking. We can see who's coming over because we'll know where to look.
Shall we wait to see who comes up?
Well, we could do, yeah.
Just the first one? Just one?
Well, we could let off a warning shot or something, couldn't we?
Okay.
Yeah, so we're just going to camp out and see who comes over the wall.
Okay, so back to Kieran and Caddo. What are you two doing? Currently, Ruth is storming around the war room. She is grabbing swords, grabbing armour, thrusting it at the Cathars. She is wandering around behind them, grabbing the buckles on their armour and just, you know, doing that thing where you grab the armour and then you just violently shake and yank to pull it tight. She is on a full rampage. Gerhardt's elbow you can see as she walks past, she knocks Gerhardt's elbow out from under him so he falls and smacks his head onto the table. Forehead first, and when he comes up, he's got a big red mark in the middle of his forehead. What's going on? Bottom tool, what the damnest hell? Woman!
Kieran's gonna go, here you go, Ruth, you could have this sword back. I won't be needing it. Give it to one of the others.
She takes the sword from your hands and she immediately thrusts it at someone else. Just a passing Cathar. They probably don't even wield a sword, but they're getting a sword.
Okay, and I'll talk to her. I'll say, have you got any of those bless scabbards? Are they to fit on my bastard sword?
She looks at you and she goes, here. And she throws a key at you. She goes, storage shed, and she tells you where the storage is. She goes, go and take a look. I'm not sure.
Right, I'm going to go. Kewin will go over and try and get one of those special magical scabbards to drop fit onto his bastard sword, because they give, is it Bless?
Okay, let's see. This hardened leather scabbard is inscribed with pictograms depicting many different kinds of weapons. A sacred scabbard can change shape to fit any dagger, sword or axe touched to it, even making allowances for double weapons. The scabbard keeps any weapon carried in it clean and sharp. Furthermore, three times per day you can command it to produce a blessed weapon effect on the weapon it holds as you draw it. The effect lasts for 10 rounds. This transmutation makes the weapon strike true against evil foes. The weapon is treated as having a plus one enhancement bonus for the purpose of bypassing the damage reduction of evil creatures or striking evil incorporeal creatures. In addition, all critical hit rolls against evil foes are automatically successful, so every threat is a critical hit. Okay, so yeah, you are able to find a sacred scabbard. There are some scabby sacred scabbards, and there are some decent looking ones. So I'm assuming you probably grab a decent looking sacred scabbard, and as soon as you touch it to the tip of your blade, it widens and lengthens and moulds to fit. Okay, Caddo, what are you doing?
I shall go over to Ruth and say, Ruth, you probably know how best to defend the building. I'm sure my compatriots won't mind me saying, in their absence, we're at your service, but rather than us try and come up with a plan on how best to defend the place, we'll probably take your lead if you're happy.
Yes, thank you, dear. Right, well, I think this lot are pretty much sorted out. Back door's barricaded, front door's barricaded. Do you want to go and check whether we've got any incoming? Or Ogvar and Alora haven't reappeared, so would you be a dear and go and see if there's any news?
Yep, certainly. Have you got any sort of messaging system from the tower so that we can keep you informed of what we're seeing?
No, but help yourself to a set of fast speaking stones.
Oh yeah, that'd be handy. Yeah, I'll go and grab some of those. So if we take we'll grab a couple of sets. I'll drop one off up the pair at the back tower, and I'll scoot up the front tower, and we'll update you on what we can see.
Okay, good thing, dearie. So as you go to collect the fast speaking stones, you bump into Kewin. I'm assuming you collect a set, you drop one off with Ruth.
So I'll brief Q in on what our discussion has been, and I'll suggest that he runs one set of speaky stones up to Ogvar and Alora, leaving one with Ruth, obviously, and then I'll leave one with Ruth, and I'll go up the other tower, and I'll suggest to Q in that once he's done his drop off, he comes and meets me in the other tower, so that we've got pairs in each tower.
Okay, you happy with that, Kewin?
Yeah, okay, no problem. I'll be off.
Okay, so, Kewin, you drop off a fast-speaking stone with Ruth. She snatches it from you. Not rudely, she's just busy. She snatches it from you, gives you a pat on the shoulder, and then you make your way up to the tower with Alora and Ogvar. Again, you have this very narrow spiral staircase, and it's almost narrow to the point where you do actually struggle at some points to get up it, especially with the dip in the stone floor. It's quite a feat to kind of balance and move quickly up this staircase. But you make your way up to the top and you pop your head out, and you see Ogvar and Alora stood there, Ogvar with a bucket on his head. And yeah.
Oh, hi, Kedo. Ogvar, Kedo's here. Oh, sorry.
That's Kewin.
Sorry. Ogvar, Kewin's here. You all right, Kewin?
Yes, I've got this speaky stone. Oh. Is Ogvar all right?
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah, he's been fine. Don't worry about him. It looks quite fetching. Anyway.
Ogvar's just fixated on the hook.
Somebody's got a hook over the wall down there. Something's happening. It looks like someone's trying to get over. Look. Just over here, look.
As you look at Ogvar, Kewin, he is stood there leaning on the balcony, and it's quite a dramatic scene. The wind ruffles through and blows his clothing, and this kind of ripple effect across his clothing, and you see his head with this bucket on, with this the handle of the bucket, this woven rope handle under his chin like a chin strap. And it's quite a moving scene. It's like something out of Romeo and Juliet.
I must have missed that scene in Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, the bucket scene. It's, it's after Act 5, I think you'll find.
Okay, so, what are you doing, Kieran?
Kieran, I go, right. Well, use the stone to tell Roof, just in case they come over. I've got to run down and then run back up the other tower to join Caddo.
I'm assuming we can see the other tower from where we are from around the other side. So,
As you turn to look at the other tower, you can see Caddo's head just popping up.
So, good job, I'm young.
good on you. Good on you, Kieran. That's good exercise. Mind how you go down those stairs.
Nah. Less haste, more speed.
Okay, so Kieran, you head back downstairs, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Yep, make me a dexterity check.
20!
Yeah, nice. You're fine. You're fine, you don't fall downstairs. Okay, so Caddo, in the meantime, you've made your way up to the front tower. Again, it is this very narrow staircase with spiralling stairs. Same kind of thing. As you go up, you see, obviously, some doors which have been left open, with rooms with just kind of random stuff, old broken furniture, bits and bobs, and you know, you go up to one floor and you can actually see what looks to be a weaving room, where you can see baskets of raw wool, you can see a spinning wheel, you can see a big loom, and you can see some part finished works, and they are quite pretty works. You can see what looks to be a symbol of Avacyn being weaved into a piece of cloth. And yeah, it's really, really fine looking work, actually. But you continue on and you get up to this same kind of fair. You've got this trap door with a long iron pole, which you prop up, and you head up a narrow rickety ladder and pop your head above into or onto the top of the tower. And again, looking up, you can see a very short, squat bell. And again, this same kind of castellated 5-foot high walls, corner posts, shingled roof. Yeah, you've got this same kind of thing.
Right then, so I'll stick my head over and see what I can see to the front of the cathedral.
And I'll join him.
Okay, so Caddo, before Kieran, so Kieran, before you can join Caddo, you're going to pop your head over and look there around, yet, are you?
You've got to go all the way down, all the way
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you're not quite there.
No, I've been down, I'm back up now.
No, so in the meantime, while you've gone up to the one tower, Caddo's gone up to the other.
I'm not that slow. I know I'm fat, but I'm not that fat.
I'm surprised that you didn't need me to push you through with the amount of food you've been eating lately.
One butter cup.
So, Caddo, while you're waiting for Kieran to arrive, you are going to take a look around, are you?
Yes.
Indeed. And you were looking over the balcony, the parapet.
I am indeed, yeah.
Okie dokie. Nice. Nine isn't going to hit you, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay. As you just about poke your head over the parapet towards the front, looking over the front area of the front entrance of the church, there is a shout goes up and a volley of arrows clatters into the stonework in front of you. Make me a spot check.
What, in case I didn't see them?
No, in case you didn't see the next volley.
That'll be 10 all in, so I'm not seeing a lot.
Okay, no, so you don't, you know, you've heard the arrows clatter, you know there were archers of some kind, but as far as you're aware, there were archers, you had to duck behind the parapet, you've taken cover, you haven't seen anything. Okay, Kieran.
Yeah?
You arrive up in the tower. You're probably puffing, you're a bit out of breath, you've run, and you're wearing heavy armour, which isn't an easy feat.
No, but I wear light armour.
Oh, sorry, you've got light armour on. Yes, but you've got quite a few swords.
One less.
One less. How are you getting yourself and your big swords through the hole?
Well, I've got the very big sword. How big's the big the hole?
It is just about wide enough for you to get your shoulders through. Add a squeeze. It's a trap door.
Carefully.
Well, I'm being queuing, the way I would be thinking of it is I am not really going to be able to use a sword on top of a tower. So
you throw it.
Captain Lightning Conductor.
No. So Kewin would go, oh blast, I'm not going to get through there. I know, well, I'll just use my crossbow. So he's going to take it, he's going to put his shield and his very big, large, great sword and his bastard sword just to the one side at the bottom in the room. And then he will climb up with his crossbow and bolts to join Caddo.
Okay, yeah. So as you poke your head over, you see Caddo taking shelter behind the wall to your left. So as you've gone up this ladder, the front of the church is now to your left, the other tower is to your right. And yeah, so Caddo is currently taking shelter behind the wall to your left.
Keep low, Q, and there's quite a lot of arrows firing about.
Sorry I couldn't get here quicker. I've got my crossbow, so let's have a look and see if I can see one of them.
Fair enough.
Straight into it.
I tried warning him.
I'm going to have a look to see if I can see anything through one of the crenellations.
Okay, so make me a spot check.
17.
That's better.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, so you kind of crouch and you're kind of doing this weird kind of squat walk, I'd imagine, as you move over to peer over the castellations. Yeah, you've got a crossbow up and you're just kind of squat walking, shuffling like a gnome. You take a look, you just peek your head above and you take a look at the surrounding areas. You can see below you, in front of the church and at the buildings at either side of the path. The buildings on either side of the path, you can see stationed on the roof, archers. And they are just getting started, they're just getting stationed, a couple more are still joining them. But on each roof you can see at least one archer. Some of them you can see two, and there doesn't seem to be any more joining them. But as you look into the area in front of the church, probably about 60 foot away from the front doors, you can see a mass of soldiers, guards, wearing the black tabards and uniform of House Axum. Make me a listen check as well, both of you, Kewin and Caddo.
It's going to be one of those days. 5 all in for me.
Excellent. It's windy.
Yeah, must be. No, I think 15. If I had it, it's Thursday.
15 for Kewin.
Okay. Yeah, so Caddo, as much as you're trying to like hear, it is quite windy. You have the sound of the wind whistling through the little area you're in, this open-topped bell tower, and you can hear it kind of whistling over the edge of the bell itself, a bit like blowing over a panpipe, but just a really big panpipe. Kewin, as you're looking, you have the benefit of having a line of sight as well. You can hear a faint rumbling sound. Sound of wooden wheels over stone cobble. As interview, moving incredibly slowly, a heavy catapult is being pushed
Trebuchet.
They're well prepared, aren't they?
After previously repossessing the church chattels, what was expected to be a day of calm reflection rapidly escalated into a dramatic event. An enraged Axum had ordered an offensive strike back on the Holy Sanctuary, and by way of a couple of cowardly sniping shots at Kolbein and Ogvar, the merciless missive was delivered, making Ruth see red. With a suddenly sobering siege situation ensuing, our previous night's partygoers find themselves putting new plans in place as they promptly take up arms. Our heroes hustled and sprinted up spiralling staircases in the hope of claiming the high ground, and the bell towers appeared to be their best bet. The view from above was not a pretty picture, with fleeing civilians, glinting grappling hooks, an armada of arrows, not to mention the timber trebuchet trundling into view. And so, it seems, the war of attrition has begun, but the battle for atonement is still to be settled as our companions enter into a conflict engagement once more. And, on the topic of engagements, the crew would like to take this opportunity to congratulate our very own Ryan on successfully popping the question. We are all so happy for you and are looking forward to raising a tankard in celebration. See you next time with episode 93 on The Secrets of the Silver City. Hey, you made it this far, so lend us your ears for a moment longer if you will. Firstly, we are most humbled that you are enjoying our yarn, and the crew thank you from the bottom of their hearts for your patronage. Producing this podcast is incredibly hard work, and as such, if you would like to support us, there are a few ways in which you could really make a difference. Sharing links to friends and family helps to spread the word so others like you can find us, and in turn they too can enjoy the show. Equally helpful is leaving a 5-star review on Spotify and any other streaming services, which will help us immensely. Or, if you feel you could go that extra mile and contribute a few coppers to keep our creative juices flowing, you can hop on over to our Buy Me a Coffee page or drop us an email. We would all be immensely grateful for your support in any form. Lastly, we invite you to visit our website, where you will find information on our campaign from backstories to settings. Join our Facebook group or follow us on Twitter. All the links are in our episode bios. Don't forget to smash the subscribe and download buttons so you never miss the next episode. See you all again next week, folks.